Come on, stand to your feet. John 12:28 says, Father, glorify thy name. And I just thought we could take a second and just kind of lift up that name for a moment. You know, the glory of God's always been in the earth. You know, the glory was in the garden. Amen. The glory was in that plan that God gave Noah for that boat. That's right. Yes. Come on, the glory was in that staff that Moses lifted up.
That's right.
You know, the glory was in the Ark of the Covenant.
That's right.
The glory was in Samson's hair.
Yeah.
The glory was in Elijah's mantle.
Yeah.
The glory's always been in the earth. And then Jesus carried the glory when he came up out of that water. But then God did something crazy. He took the glory and he put it in the name. And he gave you the name. Can we lift up that name?
Yes.
And I believe if we'll do it not out of repetition, not out of religion, but if we'll do it out of relationship and revelation, come on, we'll just fill this place with the glory of God this morning. Amen? Come on, close your eyes and just lift your hands and just out of your own heart. Come on, I before we did anything, I just wanted us to lift up the mighty, awesome, holy, 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 wonderful name of
Jesus.
Father, we just lift up the name of Jesus. We glorify the name of Jesus. Wherefore, being found in the fashion of a man, come on, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, giving him a name that's above every name, that at the name of every knee should bow. Ooh, Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you the glory of God's being released in this place. Father, we're under an open heaven. We're standing on holy ground. Father, the Holy Ghost is moving in this place. Father, the angels are here. Father, we've went from a natural realm to a supernatural realm. Father, we thank you for your glory. Jesus' mighty name. Come on. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated. If you're wondering what this morning is about, well, that's what it's about. It's about Him, not about me. It's not about the name of a church. It's about who?
Jesus.
It's about Jesus. Period. Praise God. Hey, just a few things before we get into the Word. First of all, I'm real excited about y'all's tune-up tonight. Amen. I really want to encourage you to come to that. Laura and I, it's something Laura and I are real passionate about. We do marriage seminars. I think we've done 6 of them this year. And we've been doing them for 15 years. It's called The Path. And Pastor, it's one of the most common things I've heard. Because we've done this marriage seminar, probably 100 times. And pastors will always tell me, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. They'll say, you know, it's like the people that showed up tonight, they're the ones that have a great marriage. And then the ones that don't have a great marriage, they don't show up. And somebody said, well, why is that? I think sometimes people don't show up to things like that because they think, well, you know, if I show up, everybody think I don't have a good marriage.
Right.
Hey, think about that for a second. The bottom line is, whether you have a great marriage or whether you got some issues, everybody's marriage can get better.
Amen.
I mean, Laura and I were fixed to be married 32 years, And come on, things just keep getting better. And every time we do that marriage seminar, I'm always preaching to myself. Come on, I always find something in that seminar that I need to do better. And so, man, come. If you have a perfect marriage, which I don't see how that could be because you're married to a man, right? You know, you could have a perfect marriage if it wasn't for your husband. Just messing. If your marriage is perfect or if it's not perfect, man, come tonight and let's tune it up. Let's get it better.
Amen.
Amen. Always an honor to come. Love your pastors. Always love coming over here. Not just because it's close. I was out in Arizona, New Mexico for 12 days last week. And I love preaching out there. Great pastors, great friends. It's fun to visit. Ooh, wouldn't want to live out there. Just too dry, just brown, no trees. Just, it's great to visit. Wouldn't want to live there. So it's nice being back in the home country. But love your pastors. I love their heart, love their vision, and you know, We're in about 50 churches a year, and I tell you what, I don't know another pastor that is wanting to see the supernatural, wanting to see the deep, wanting to see the glory, wanting to see signs, miracles, and wonders any more than Pastor Scott and Miss Carrie. Amen? Come on, give them a hand clap. You got good pastors. Good pastors. Hey, after the service is over, Miss Dolly's going to be over at the table. I didn't bring a lot. I didn't bring anything up here from the table. That flash drive is back there. It's got our whole media library on it. It's like 16 series, 30 years of material on every subject imaginable. I always say, if you like this morning, you'll love what's on the flash drive. If you don't like this morning, you ain't gonna like nothing on the flash drive. That's fair, isn't it? And it's like $500 worth of stuff, but because of technology, we just do that flash drive for $100, and then I sew our book into your life. So the book is called The Move. You can just get the book if you want to. It's the book we wrote a couple of years ago. And I don't like puddles. I like rivers. I don't want to be smoke. I want to be fire. I don't want to be a captive. I want to be a deliverer. Amen? So that book's all about moving you. And there's another series over there. I brought a few of them called Breakthrough Now. And if you're here this morning, man, there's an area of your life you don't want a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough, and you needed it yesterday. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That series would be the right revelation at the right time. And so they cash, check, and use your credit card if you want to. Miss Dolly knows how to do it all. I did have a present this morning for Pastor Scott and Miss Terry. This is our new book that's coming out. It's called The Build. Leadership Builds. God's churches, ministries, and your life. And people right now are pre-ordering it on our website. And so, but if you don't want to, if you'd like to get the book and you don't have to go through a website, Miss Dolly will take care of you back there. And we're going to put the order in. I'm fixing to head to Bulgaria here in about a week. We're going to put the order in, and then we'll ship it to you at the end of the month. But I wanted to do something. I wanted to put some pressure on somebody. I'm looking around. All right, I see my mark right there. All right, there's 203. I call them builds. They're little sayings. And it's all about leadership. You know, y'all know the story when Elijah called down fire? You know, churches are believing God for fire.
Amen.
Revival, outpouring, awakening. But, you know, God didn't send the fire until they had that altar meticulously laid out. There was order. That altar had to be put together exactly the way God told Elijah to put that. That's leadership. And so that's what, if you want the supernatural, that's that book, The Move. This is about leadership. 203 of these. All right, you're going to be led by the Holy Ghost. You ready? You're going to pick the one. You're going to pick a number. And when I read it, it's going to be exactly the right one for this moment. And if you miss it, well, then you just miss the Holy Ghost. It's all on you. They're short and sweet. Pick a number between 1 and 100. Do that. Dun, dun, dun. 97. All right. If you like 97, you like the book. If you don't like 97, you're not going to like the book. So what's 97? I don't know. I don't have them all memorized. I wrote them, but, you know, I don't have them all memorized. So here's 97. Y'all ready? This one's called Be Sincere. Kingdom leaders are sincere people. The person who is sincere has an honest soul. Sincere in the Greek means without wax. It was back in Bible days that you wanted to purchase a garment that was without wax. In other words, you wanted a garment that was held together by thread, not wax. You wanted a garment that was sincere, not fake. You wanted a garment that would hold together when the hot sun of the day would come beating down. Today we need leaders. Everybody say, I'm a leader.
I'm a leader.
More than ever before, who are sincere and that will not fall apart when the heat is applied. Amen? Is that good?
Yeah.
You did good, brother. You did good. And so, but this one's Pastor Scott and Miss Terry's. I wanted them to have one of the first copies. So, amen. Amen. Y'all do be praying for us. I'm headed to Bulgaria. Fly out next Monday. Next Monday, we're going to gather all these gypsy pastors together. And at no expense to them, we're going to take care of them and feed them. And we're going to be at a beautiful lodge. And we're just going to pour into them for a day. And we got a men's conference there in Stara Zagora, Bulgaria. It's a beautiful country. And then off to Africa in October for a big mass crusade with Dr. Egan Falk. I've done those before. You want to follow me on Facebook. I'm telling you, I'm a good follower. There'll be probably 15, 20,000 in that crusade in October. And it's quite a sight to see God moving moving in that way. It's pretty awesome. So anyway, God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Hey, before we get into the word, let's get some people healed this morning. Very rarely do I go and God just doesn't put that on my heart, because the thought of someone coming to church and being in pain or sore or stiff or hurting, it's just something I can't live with, you know, because I know what pain is. Anybody know what pain is? Anybody ever experienced pain? All you women that have come on birth to baby, come on. Y'all know what pain is? I passed kidney stones. I know what pain is. I hate pain. And see, what you hate the most is what God's called you to correct. Ooh, did y'all hear that? Let me say that again. What you hate the most is what God's called you to correct. You know, ministry has just as much to do with hate as it does love. See, the preacher that hates sin preaches holiness. The preacher that hates sickness and disease preaches healing. The preacher that hates poverty preaches prosperity. The preacher that hates ignorance and doubt preaches faith. What do you hate? It's a key to your kingdom assignment. It's a key to you finding the sweet spot, come on, in the kingdom. Well, I hate sickness. I hate disease. I hate pain. I hate the fact that y'all are sitting here this morning and your back's messed up and your neck's messed up and you got a bad knee and you got a bad shoulder. Come on, and you got carpal tunnel and you got plantar in your feet. Come on, and you got arthritis in your body. I mean, if Jesus was here in the flesh, do you think anybody would be leaving with any of that stuff? Then why don't we have more of our faith? Because he is here. Come on, he's here in you, and he's here in me. Now, I want to get you healed this morning. And I want to get you healed at the end of the service. Let's get you healed now. Let's get you healed whether you want to get healed or not. Yeah, but what if nobody gets healed? What if everybody gets healed? Amen?
Amen.
He said, yeah, but it's hard. Well, what if it's easy? Jesus said it was easy. Mark 2:9, he said, which is easier, to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? We think it's hard and harder. He thinks it's easy and easier. Come on, somebody say easy.
Easy.
When are you going to start preaching? I am preaching.
That's right.
We'll stir you up this morning. Didn't we glorify the name of Jesus a few moments ago?
Amen.
And so isn't the glory of God here?
Yes.
And so why don't we just go ahead and leave pain-free today?
Hallelujah.
And that way you can enjoy the message better.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. You know, I've been meditating in John 5, you know, the pool of Bethesda. Because there were some things in that chapter that were really bothering me. And so what was bothering you? The fact that, why did Jesus heal that dude? Why did Jesus heal that guy? And I think it speaks to this moment, because what causes people to keep from reaching out and receiving their healing? There's all kind of stuff. But I think there's something in that chapter that maybe could help you in just a moment reach out and just, that's mine, give it to me. Come on, that's mine, give it to me. That guy in John 5, you know, when Jesus walked in there, there was a bunch of people there. They were all waiting for the moving of the water, because an angel at a certain time would go down there and stir the water, right? But why that guy? There was no conversation Jesus had with him. But he went there to that guy on purpose, because he passed through all these people, went to this one guy. He already knew he had been in that condition for a long time, so God sent him there to heal the guy. He had had an infirmity for 39 years. Jesus knew what was wrong with him when he laid eyes on him. Come on, that was a word of knowledge operating in the life of Jesus. Jesus walked in, and it doesn't say Jesus was moved with any kind of compassion. Don't get me wrong, I know Jesus loved him, but there are many times where it says, and Jesus was moved with compassion and healed. That doesn't say that here. He just walked up to the guy, and he never told him he was forgiven. You know, he did that in Mark 2. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. He didn't do that with the guy. He just walked up to him and said, will you be made whole? And you know, the guy didn't even respond in faith. You know, a lot of times Jesus would say, go on your way. Your faith hath made you. Or like the woman with the issue of blood. You know, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. That was her faith. This guy, there's no faith here. Matter of fact, when he said, will you be made whole? The first thing that came out of his mouth was, well, I don't have a man to get me down in the water. So there's no compassion flowing. There's no big faith on this guy's part. Jesus didn't tell him he was forgiven. He didn't even tell him he was healed. He just said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the guy did. And I was like, just, you ever read something and you're just like, what's up with that? And that was my question. What's up with that? You know, God, why did you heal that guy? Well, I don't know if we have all the answers to that, but I'll say this. If that guy got healed that day, anybody can get healed. Let me say that again. Well, I need to be perfect to get healed. Well, I don't think so. Huh? I need to have great faith to get healed. Well, that guy didn't. Huh? I mean, maybe that story is there, and that's God's way of saying, I'm going to heal this guy just because, come on, I want to, just to show everybody in the world how much I want to heal them too. So do you have to be perfect?
Nope.
Do you have to have great faith?
Nope.
Come on, does God have to be in the mood?
Definitely not.
No, you know what? He loves you. And he wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. And he doesn't want something from you. It's not like he wants you to cut a deal with you. He doesn't want you right now going, well, God, if you'll heal me, then I'll do this or I'll do that. No, that's not how God operates. If you want to have that conversation with him after you're healed about what he's called you to do, he would really love that conversation. But don't have that now. Yeah, but I need to get my life right. No, you don't. No, you don't. Acts 3, he got that guy healed. And then after he got him healed, then he got him saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And so you don't have to go clean up to take a bath. Come on now. He just wants you healed. And then after you're healed, you can have a conversation with him about life. God, he loves you. And he's more aware of what's going on in your body than you are. But here's the thing. What is going on in your body? Let's do this. If you've got something going on in your body this morning, on a scale of 1 to 10, some kind of pain, soreness, stiffness, you got something going on. Just lift your hands. Who's got something going on? Keep your hands up. Now, first of all, look at all the hands. Please don't put them down. Because look at this. Look at how many people have got something going on in their body. Put them down for a second. How many of you got something going on in your back? Kind of back pain. Yeah. Look. What about your neck? Who's got something that has issues with their neck? So what are you feeling? I have a combination of hate and compassion going on. That's how Jesus walked. He hated and he loved. Come on. Hate and love. How many of you got some kind of arthritis in your body? Yeah. How many of you got things going on in your knees? Come on. Ankles. Hips. Elbows. Come on, who's got issues with their hands? Yeah. Let's do this. Let's have a little fun. Who in here would say, Brother Philip, I've had an issue in a certain part of my body, and I bet I've been hurting in that area longer than anybody's been hurting anywhere. Did you? Who else? Where have you been hurting? Neck? So this isn't like a few weeks ago. It's not a few months ago.
40 years.
40 years in his neck. What, did you lift your head? What?
Me.
How long?
25.
First of all, y'all take a big deep breath. Y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Say, what are you doing? I'm making the spirit of religion mad. It's like Sometimes on a Sunday morning, we get this vibe on us and we feel like we're being graded. I'm not being graded. I don't care how it looks. I just want you healed.
Amen.
Amen? You got 40 years here. You got 20, 25 years here. Man, God can hit this whole place. Amen? I was in Arizona. I told you I was out there, and there was this pastor that was here, and the Lord just gave me a word, said somebody here had been to see a doctor, and the doctor said, you need new blank. I didn't know what was in the blank, but I knew the new blank. And I said, who is that? And this pastor lifted up his hands, and I said, what did the doctor say? He said, the doctor says, I need new knees. He's in the military, bone on bone. And so I had him come up to the front, and Lord showed me exactly how to minister to him. There was angels there that night. There's angels here right now. Amen. So what are angels doing here? Well, they're ministering spirits sent to minister for the heirs of salvation. Come on, angels were always ascending and descending upon Jesus. They were active in the book of Acts. We're not to pray to angels. We're not to worship angels. But I tell you what, I'm always welcoming them. You know, I'd rather preach with a bunch of angels present than a bunch of devils.
Amen.
We need to send more angels to Washington. I'd rather Trump be surrounded by angels than devils.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that man jumped up two new knees.
Praise God.
He's running. He's walking around. And you know me, I get specific. Okay, tell me exactly how you're feeling. And he's explaining the cushion in his knees. He's explaining he hadn't felt that. And I mean, he was teary and laughing and crying at the same time. And God did that for him. God do that for,
yeah.
Remember, if he healed the guy at the pool of Bethesda, what will he do for you?
Right.
I will give that guy credit for one thing, though. When Jesus said, rise up, he rose up.
Yeah. That's right.
And y'all know he didn't even know who Jesus was. I mean, if you were laying in a bed sick and somebody you didn't know walked into the hospital room and said, get up, would you get up? He did. I give him credit for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get this done. 40 years. Did you do something to hurt it? What'd you do to it?
This one.
And so what's your movement in it? So you can tell the difference from your left side to your right side of your body. Now, do we need to like lower the lights in order for people to get healed? Do I need to get somebody on the keyboard? Did Jesus have a keyboard player? Yeah, did he have a lights crew that traveled with him that they had to lower the light? Did he have to do any of that? This is what I want everybody. I want us to pray for Robert. If you got anything going on in your body, come over here. I want you to help me pray for him. Come on. No, you stay where you at. Sit down. Come over here. Come on over here. Now, don't start praying for him yet. Let's make sure we're tapped into that compassion. And at the same time, let's make sure we're tapped into a hatred for sin and, come on, in disease and sickness and pain. Come on, can you feel both at the same time? Can you have an incredible compassion for this man of God and at the same time have an absolute hatred for the pain that he's been dealing with, the numbness, the tingling, the limited movement? Come on, the buffering that he's been dealing with for 40 years. You know, compassion is his pain in your heart. Come on, can you forget about your pain for a minute and just have a compassion for him? Come on, can you quit hating your pain right now and just hate his? Because we're about to pray. And when we get through praying, We're going to stand him up. And he's going to start moving. He's going to do what the Pool of Bethesda guy did. He's going to get up, and he's going to start moving his neck, and he's going to start moving his arms, and he's going to move his body, and he's going to do what the guy with no faith did. And if God did it for the guy at the Pool of Bethesda, how much more is he going to do it for Robert? He's going to stand up, he's going to begin to move his body around, and he's going to begin to check his mobility and the strength from left leg to right leg, and he's going to begin to do that. What if he doesn't get healed? What if there's no change in him? What if there is? We're not going to pray out of fear that he doesn't get healed. We're going to pray out of faith that he 100% is healed. And we're not going to ask God to heal him either. We're not going to ask God to do something he's already done. Come on, by Jesus' stripes we were
healed.
Ooh. So I want you to project, come on, compassion. And I want you to begin to lift up the name. And Robert, I don't want you to pray in a bit. I just want you to focus on how much Jesus loves you, brother. And he don't just love you, he likes you. And your best days are ahead. And Jesus is Lord over your life. And you're blessed to be a blessing. And your greatest days of building the kingdom are ahead. And open doors of opportunity. And your most significant season is ahead. And God's going to have more revelation coming your way. More blessings coming your way. More favor coming your way. Restoration in your life from what the devil has stolen. Oh, thank you, Father, for this man of God. And Father, we thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Father, we thank you that you have stripped off of him anything that would keep him from receiving what Jesus Christ did for him when he took those stripes on his back. Satan, we rebuke you.
Yes.
Demonic power, we rebuke you. Goliath in this room, we rebuke you. Strong man, we rebuke you. We bind you. We command you to go. Sickness and disease and pain and swelling and inflammation and damage and injury, we rebuke you. Darkness, we rebuke you. We command you to go and leave his body now. Now, Father, I thank you. Life is flooding his body. Light is flooding his body. Healing is flooding his body. Restoration is flooding his body. Father, I thank you. There's elements in his body that are being healed. But Father, I thank you there's angels here and they're replacing some things that need replaced. Father, I thank you for healing, but I thank you for miracles in his body now. Father, I thank you that when he stands up and he begins to move, he's going to be utterly astounded of the difference in his body. And we're going to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Father. Woo, Father, I thank you that just as that man in John 5 stood up, Robert's going to stand up. Father, I thank you all of hell knows what has already happened. And all of heaven knows what's already happened. And hell's mad and heaven's glad. Ooh, now be real still. Because what God has already done for him, God's already done for you. See, while you were taking care of his business, God took care of your business. Come on, God snuck up on you and healed you when you weren't looking. Because you know what? God created a moment in this place where you got your mind off what you're going through, and you got your mind on what someone else was going through. And it opened up a door for healing to hit your body. And so when he stands up and begins to move, I want you to check your ankles and your knees and anything that was hurting, anything where there was pain, anything where you were sore, anything that was wrong that you couldn't do. I want you to check it like that guy in John 5. I want you to get up. I want you to take up your bed. I want you to take off walking. I want you to begin to bend over. Whatever you got to do to find out what's different, what's changed, what's healed, I want you to do what he does. I want you to begin to move, and when you do, you better get ready. You're going to be amazed at the difference in your body. God snuck up on you and healed you when you weren't looking. Woo! Thank you, Father. Father, we glorify thy name. Father, we glorify thy name. And Father, I'm going to count to three, and this man's going to stand up. And Father, when he stands up, they're all going to start moving. And Father, there's going to be a celebration for what you've done. Y'all ready? One, two, three. Start moving. Start moving. Start, all of you, start moving. Take off walking. Kind of start working your way back to your seat. Check your knees. Check your ankles. Check your neck. Move those hands around. Check where the arthritis was. Check your feet. Just keep moving. There you go. Take off. Just take off. Check your shoulders. Throw your arms up over your head. Move your jaw around. Just make a list of everything that's different in your body. Make a list of everything that's different in your body. All the differences, small or big. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right, Robert, don't pull no punches. Just be completely honest. I'm not concerned about my reputation here. Just tell me what's different. You feel looser. All right. How's that? Do you have a little bit more mobility in your neck? A little bit more mobility. All right. What about left side, right side difference? How does it feel? All right. So no change in the left to the right, but feel a little looser, a little bit more mobility in your neck. Thank you, Father. Woo. Now watch it. Now, if there's a difference in your body, raise your hand. There's a difference in your body. All right, keep your hand up. I'm going to point at you. Just yell at me. What's different? What's different?
Knee.
Knee. What? What's different?
My knees.
Your knees.
Feeling
in your hands.
My toes.
Your toes. Right over here.
Elbows.
Elbows.
Knees better.
Knees are better. Right over here. Yeah.
Knees.
Like I pulled something in my stomach.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It's gone. Praise God. Yeah.
Shoulder feels looser.
Hallelujah. Yeah, right over here.
Eyes.
What about you?
Wrist.
Ooh. Thank you. Just stretch your hands out this way. You know, you get that in baseball, somebody will connect real good, and the person will say, he's got a hit, and it's going. Going. Come on, that's how I feel right now in this brother's body. Come on, going. Going. Come on, can somebody prophesy that? Going. Woo. Y'all know how you end it, right? Going. 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 Come on, gone. In Jesus' name. Gone. Come on, point your finger at him. And you're not pointing it at him. You're pointing it at that devil that's been harassing him for 40 years. Come on, if somebody prophesy, gone. Come on, gone. Not go, gone. Come on, his body's rebooting. His left side, right side's rebooting. Come on, strength and flexibility and gone in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father. Gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Every step, every step, every step, every step. Thank you, Father. Ooh, in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. How was that trip around? What did that feel like? Felt good. You know what I want you to do? I got a message I want to share. I just want you to stroll around back here all you want to. Walk anywhere God directs you to walk. So, well, I don't want to interrupt. You ain't going to interrupt me. An elephant could break dance in the back. Wouldn't bother me a bit. I want you to obey the Holy Ghost and just kind of stroll around and keep lifting up the name of Jesus. And let's pray. Every step you take, better. Every step you take, better. Every step you take, your body is catching up to the miracle that hits your spirit. Ooh, that's it. Every step, your body is catching up to the miracle you've already received in your spirit. So just take your liberty. Sit when you want to sit. Walk when you want to walk. Y'all be seated. Be seated. Hallelujah. I'm not going to preach long because I've got to get us up to this altar. Can we believe God that the most significant season this church has ever known begins today?
Amen.
Now, let's think about what I just said. The most significant season this church has ever known begins today.
Amen. That's right.
Come on, that something happens in the spirit today. It launches the most significant season this church has ever known. And there is this increase and acceleration of all things.
Amen.
Can we get our faith on that?
Amen.
And so God's going to give you a faith for that as the minutes go by. We're going to get up at this altar afterwards and we're going to join hands and we're going to declare that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. One put 1,000 to flight, two can put.
Yeah.
Come on, we can decree a thing and it'll be established.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And here's the deal. The faith for that's not in the room right now, but it will be.
Amen.
Here in just a few minutes.
Hallelujah.
And so as every minute goes by, y'all are going to be wishing that I would hush. So we could get up here and come on. And
hallelujah.
Everybody say acceleration.
Acceleration.
Praise God for everything God's done for this church. Man, I see the growth, all the new faces. And y'all have moved from there to here. And everything's been slow and steady, like our ministry. Slow and steady. But you know what? Does anybody like me feel like there's something in the air? And it's time for a big jump.
Amen.
It's time for a big hop.
Right.
And it's all about the kingdom and the hour that we're living in.
Amen.
And perilous times and prophetic times that we don't really have time for slow and steady anymore. That there needs to be some acceleration.
That's right.
That's why I'm here.
That's right.
That's why I'm here. You know, life is full of moments. You don't remember day to day. You don't remember month to month. You remember moments. I remember when I got born again. You know, I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember when I saw Laura for the first time. You know, first date, white mini skirt. I remember. You know, you remember stuff. I remember the day we got married. I remember when we loaded up to move to Tulsa to go to Rhema. I remember the day we left Rhema. We all have moments that we remember. And I hope you focus more on your good moments than your bad moments. You know that's a choice, don't you? It bothers me when someone's got 10 moments, 8 of them are good, 2 of them are bad, but what's the ones they want to talk about all the time? Stop it! Don't let the bad ones define you, let the good ones define you. You're there for free. Well, the Bible's full of moments. You don't remember chapter to chapter. You remember moments, creation. Come on, Noah getting on that boat and it beginning to rain. Come on, Moses, the burning bush. Moses lifting up that rod and the sea splits. I mean, all these incredible, David killing Goliath. Elijah calling down fire. Come on, moments. But here's the thing. The closer those moments got to the cross, the more they begin to build. I mean, because those moments are leading up to, they're building to the greatest moments the world's ever known. I mean, when you get to the cross, you're talking about the moments that defined the universe. They defined eternity. Those are the moments that define whether or not you go to hell or you spend eternity in heaven. Right? So by the time Jesus is born, how much weight did that moment carry? Come on, by the time he gets baptized in the River Jordan and the Holy Ghost comes on him, how much weight did that carry? You know, one of the questions I want to ask God when I get to heaven is, out of all the devils in the world, when Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost, how many of them came to Israel? Come on, don't you think it was all hands on deck? How many devils you think were in Israel in the days of Jesus? That's what he was facing. Why? Because the moment carried so much weight. So by the time he raises Lazarus from the dead, whew, that moment's building. What about John 13 and the Passover meal? How much weight did that moment carry? What about the Garden of Gethsemane? If it be thy will, remove this cup from me. I mean, that moment carried so much weight, he's bleeding his drops of blood. Come on, by the time Judas kisses him, how much weight does that carry? Because he had already said somebody's going to betray me. And then he's standing in front of Pilate. Come on, these moments are building. There's a vibration in the earth. I mean, there, hell is going crazy. Heaven is rejoicing. The master plan is coming into fruition, right? And then he gets those stripes on his back. And then, the Via Della Rosa that I've walked. Well, you know, not the Via Della Rosa, but 20 feet above the Via Della Rosa. And then, come on, they hang him on the cross. And now, come on, you've got the greatest moment in the history of the world. I mean, all the devils are there. Heaven's going crazy, right? And in the middle of it all, Jesus slammed on the brakes. He stopped the presses. I mean, you've been going down the interstate doing 70, 80 miles an hour, and someone slams on the brakes in front of you, and it forces you to slam on the brakes, and you go from 75 to zero in seconds. Anybody ever been there? That's what Jesus did on the cross. He said, Brother Philip, what are you talking about? It's right here in John 19. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then said he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. We read over that like that's nothing. But in the middle of the greatest moments the world's ever known, Jesus stopped the presses and gave a mama a son and a son a mama. Who does that? How insignificant was that compared to what he was accomplishing on the cross? It almost leans a little bit unnecessary. What, you think God wasn't going to take care of Mary? You think those disciples weren't going to take care of Mary? Come on, think about that. I mean, this is eternity, past, present, and future. This is what the whole master plan. Come on, this was Satan's master plan and God's master plan coming into fruition. The good part was Satan got it wrong and God got it right.
Amen.
But Jesus stopped it and gave a mama a son and a son a mama. Why did he do that? How did he do that? It shows me, it tells me, it should tell us all that no matter what's going on in the world, no one in no situation is ever insignificant. Say that word, insignificant.
Insignificant.
There was ever an hour where it would be very easy for anyone to feel insignificant. It's now. You don't realize what's going on around the world. I know you do. What's going on in Venezuela? What's going on in China? What's going on in Russia? What's going on in Europe? Man, I know what's going on in Europe. I mean, that whole way of that culture, that whole area is under attack. Such atheism, I know what's going on in Africa.
Yeah.
I got fingers in that continent. Come on, there's a war between Christianity going north and Islam going south. Come on, every government is corrupt in that country and the churches have to deal with it. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world right now. What's going on in America? This political war? This hatred that's in our country and the distraction that it's provided for the church, because I think we've gotten more interested in, come on, in the politics and the anger than we are the word. I mean, come on now. There's a lot going on, and it'd be very easy for anyone to feel just insignificant. Like, what do I really matter? And you even look at, we even look at our own problems, like with all the problems in the world. Man, what's my problem? I mean, my problem is nothing compared to the problems of the world. And so you start seeing your own problems as insignificant. You start seeing yourself as insignificant. But why did God give a son a mama and a mother a son? What was he telling us? You ain't insignificant. And your problems aren't insignificant. And I'll stop all the presses around the world just to take care of you. And to get involved in your business. And to take care of you. If it was ever easy for someone to feel insignificant, it's now. But you know what? It's like that for churches. Very easy for a church to feel insignificant in the days we're living in. Pastor, how many churches do you think there are in Alvin? Yeah, anybody want to give a guess? What do you think? 20? 50? Can we go with 50?
Yeah.
Let's go with 53. 53 churches in L. That's a lot of churches for one town, isn't it?
Yep.
Surely the work's getting done. I mean, if Believers Fellowship was the only church in Alvin, well, then this church would be far more significant. But because there's 50 churches in Alvin, then really this church isn't as significant as it would be if it was the only church in Alvin. That's what churches deal with. But do you know if every church this morning was absolutely filled, they say the average would be about 13% of Alvin would be in church? Every chair in every church was filled, you'd only have, let's say 20%, let's be nice. So if every chair was filled, 20% of Alvin would be in church. So is the work getting done in Alvin? When 80% of the people wouldn't even fit? No, the work's not being done. The work's not getting done. So how significant is Believer's Fellowship? As significant as it gets. As significant as any church doing anything anywhere in the world. So how significant are you? I think you're pretty significant. It's time we embrace that. Let me be a little bit more specific. Your life is more significant than you'll ever know. And the bottom line is, you're really not going to know till you get to heaven just how much of a part you played in the kingdom. You're not really going to know. You're operating by faith. I want you to operate by more faith. But you're really not going to know what the impact you made on the world till you get to heaven. You know, I'll be over in Bulgaria, and I remember the first time I went, Miss Terry, I was preaching in Burgas, Bulgaria, and that church is the oldest Pentecostal charismatic church in all of Bulgaria, and it was formed around the time of Azusa. There was a Russian couple that was on their way back. They had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. Revival hit them. They're on their way back to Russia. They stopped in Bulgaria to see some family. The Holy Ghost fell in Burgas. The first Pentecostal church was birthed, right? I preached in that church, dead in a doornail, but it's still there. I'm not going to say anymore. Dead in a doornail. They didn't know what to think of me. And so, but somebody got filled with the Holy Ghost in that meeting. They traveled up to Varna, Bulgaria. The second Pentecostal church was birthed. I preached in that church. That's Pastor that's Pastor Nikolai's church. Pastor John Osteen was his pastor. Pastor Osteen built that church, which is one of the nicest facilities in all of Bulgaria. $130,000 Pastor Osteen wrote to get that facility built. That couple wound up going on to Russia. Do you think they ever had a clue the impact they made on Bulgaria? They went back to Russia. What was their mindset? You know, we had some good meetings in Bulgaria. You know, God really fell that night. They didn't have a clue that because of them, the first two churches were birthed in Bulgaria, and 100 years later, they're still there. That everything charismatic, Pentecostal in Bulgaria came from a little couple that weren't called into the ministry. You know what I mean, fivefold. They don't know. You don't know. Brother Philip, what's heaven going to be like? That's heaven. Who wanted somebody knocking on your door? Hey, are you Pastor Scott? Yeah. Hey, I just want to thank you. You sowed a seed into a minister, and that minister came to my country, and I got born again. And I just looked at those records in heaven and realized that if it wouldn't have been for your prayers and your seed, I wouldn't be born again. And I just wanted to knock on your door and say thank you. And then you know what you're going to be doing when someone's not knocking on your door? You're going to be knocking on somebody's door to say what? Thank you for believing in you. Thank you for sowing into you. Thank you for praying for you. Thank you for encouraging you. Thank you for, come on. Heaven's going to be a lot of door knocking. And you're not going to know how significant your life was till you get there. But let me ask you something. Don't you want to be more significant? Don't you want to maximize your significance? And isn't that what we want for this church? Come on. We're fixing to get up at this altar, and we're going to launch the most significant season this church has ever known. And we're fixing to see acceleration. Why? Because we put our faith on it. Your life is significant. I'll tell you what else is significant. Your words. You know those things that come out your mouth every day? They mean something. They matter. They make a difference. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. And the only way this church is going to maximize its significance is it's got to understand that the words of this congregation matter. And we've got to make sure we're saying, come on, what God wants us to say instead of what religion or what we want to say. I can't tell you how many times this happens to me. It happens on a regular basis. I could give you examples. Don't have time. Somebody will walk up to me in a church and they'll say, hey, Brother Philip, can I have just a minute? And I'll say, sure. They'll say, hey, listen, I just wanted you to know that last year when you were here, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years ago when you were here, you called me out, you and I were talking, you were preaching, and you said, ta-da-da, 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 and that just really changed my life, and it got me through a hard time, and I just want to thank you for saying what you said. And the whole time they're talking, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't even know who these people are. The whole time they're talking, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't remember that. And then a lot of times people tell me what I said, and I'm sitting there thinking, that don't sound like me. I have no knowledge of it. But for them, it's like it happened yesterday. Words matter.
Amen.
But can we reverse it for a minute? Because we're fixing to get into something that's keeping us from living that significant life and seeing the acceleration that we want to see. You've been hurt. You've had people that have said things to you in your life that were mean, cruel, betrayed you, wounded you, stabbed you in the back. And I mean, you remember it like it was yesterday. And it's funny because people always go, well, you know, I'm not a preacher. And, you know, oh, I could never get up behind that pulpit and talk. And, you know, and it's like they're proud of that. Well, I'm just shy. That's just not my personality. But it's kind of hypocritical because if I stood you up and I said, hey, listen, I want you to tell us about the time that someone said something to you and it wounded you to the core and it took you a long time to get over it. Can you just tell us what happened that day? You would stand up, you'd walk up to that pulpit like John Wayne. It was 1977. It's Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Wind was blowing east to west. Bonanza was on. You would turn into this prolific speaker. And I tell you what, we were talking, we were having an argument, and then I told them blah, 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 and then they said blah, 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 and then I said blah, 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 and then Bonanza went off and hee-haw came on, and then my sister walked by, she was wearing a red dress, and then that person said, you'll never amount to nothing and you're ugly. And I remember like it was yesterday, and it hurt me so much. Is that right? Here's the funny part. The person who said that, they're out there in the world somewhere, completely oblivious to what they said.
Yeah. Exactly.
They don't. If you walked up to them and you said, I remember in 1977, the man was on, you told me I'm never going to amount to anything, and I was like, they'd be like, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
That don't even sound like something I would say. Or if they did remember it, they'd be like, well, you know, I was going through a hard time that, you know, that time, and, you know, and I was passing a kidney stone that day. I mean, you just never know. But what if they did mean it? Well, that's what forgiveness is all about. Amen?
Right.
Forgive them the way Jesus forgave. But here's the deal. Your life has been shaped by words from someone who's out there completely oblivious to what they told you. And you know it's true because here's the thing. You've said stupid stuff. I have said stupid stuff. Cruel stuff. Mean stuff. I've said stuff I didn't mean. And there's somebody out there that's hurt. And they remember what you said like it was yesterday. And you're in church this morning completely oblivious to it. Come on. Do words matter?
Yes.
They're very significant. We want to see the most significant season we've ever experienced. We want to see acceleration. Our lives matter, but our words matter. And it's more important than ever before that we, as a church, we're saying the same thing. That we're speaking life, that we're not speaking death. Come on. Let me give you one more. Your giving is significant. When I talk about giving, I'm not going to go into a whole thing on tithing or sowing. Your giving is significant. Anything you give, your finances, your time, anything you're giving is significant. You know, when it comes to tithing, when it comes to seed, Pastor, I think a lot of times the reason people don't tithe, it's not because they don't love God, or they don't love Jesus, or they don't love the church, or they don't love the kingdom. They look at their tithe, whatever it is, and they look at it and they go, what's this going to matter? I mean, look at the needs of the church. You know, if it's a $5 tithe, come on, a $50 tithe, a $500, what's this really going to matter? When you look at all the needs of the church, what's this really going to matter? And when you look at your seed as insignificant, you know what you'll do every time? You put it back in your pocket. But see, that's not what the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes did he? What are 5 loaves and 2 fishes when it comes to 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people? Isn't that a pretty insignificant seed? But it's not just the seed, it's whose hands you put it in. Your $50 tithe is just as supernatural as someone's $5,000 tithe, $500,000 tithe, $5 million tithe. You put it in the hands of Jesus, and what does He do? He breaks it, multiplies it, and meets the needs of the kingdom. Don't ever see your tithe as insignificant. Don't ever see the seed you sow as insignificant. Come on now. Since I was 20 years old, I've been tithing and supporting ministries around the world. We give 20% of our income back into the kingdom. How many people have been born again around the world because of my tithing and sowing? I haven't got a clue. When I get to heaven, I'll... I've been supporting Paul Trokel in Tanzania, Africa, who runs a Bible school, and he graduates 80 Maasai pastors a year. Paul wouldn't be able to be in Africa if it wasn't for me and other partners. So it's not just how many people he's impacted, but how many people have those 80 pastors a year for 15 years impacted? Genesis 11, don't turn there. A group of people come together at the Tower of Babel. Amen? They bring together their life. They brought together their giving. And they brought together their words. And they began to do something demonic. Those were some of the most demonic people to ever live. But it didn't matter. They believed they were significant. They brought their life together, their words together, and their giving together, and they were doing something so immense that God came down and said nothing will be restrained from them from what they put it, for what they've imagined in their heart to do. And that's why He confounded their language and scattered them. If a bunch of demonic people can bring together their life and their words and their giving and do something amazing for the demonic, what can we do? What can we do? Stand to your feet. Somebody come play that keyboard. Anybody ever heard of Billy Kimball? You ever heard of Billy Kimball? Billy Kimball was a Sunday school teacher at the turn of the century. He's a Sunday school teacher. He saw this young man in a shoe shop, begin ministering to him, praying for him, blessing him. The young man finally got born again. Gave his life not only to God, but he gave it to ministry. That man wound up preaching the gospel on two continents. His name was D.L. Moody. Only God knows how many people are in heaven because of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody's doing a crusade, and another young man gives his heart to the Lord, to ministry, becomes an evangelist. His name was Wilbur Chapman. Only God knows how many people Wilbur Chapman led to the Lord. Wilbur Chapman's doing a crusade up in the Northeast, and a professional baseball player walked in. And that baseball player got born again, called to God into the ministry. Only God knows how many people he led to the Lord. His name was Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday is doing a crusade, and another young man walks in, gives his life to the Lord, ministry. Only God knows how many people he got born again. His name was Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham's doing a crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina, right across the street from the high school. A lot of controversy. Bunch of boys wanted to go over there and cut up a little bit, see what it was all about. And this 16-year-old, sandy-haired, tall, lanky kid walked over. He got born again. He got called into the ministry. History tells us that he probably preached to 1.5 billion people around the earth. Y'all probably heard of him. His name's Billy Graham. Was Billy Kimball the Sunday school teacher? Did he live an insignificant life? How many knocks on his door? How many people are in heaven because of his life, his words, his giving? Satan hates you. He hates this church. And if he can get you to see your life as insignificant, you won't give it for the kingdom. And if he can get you to see your words as insignificant, you'll keep speaking death. And if he can get you to see your tithing and your sowing as insignificant, you'll keep it in your pocket. That's what Satan does. That's what he's been doing for 2,000 years. Don't let him get away with that stuff in your life, and don't let him get away with that stuff in this church. Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you just a few questions. Then we're going to come up to the altar, and we're going to worship, and we're going to launch, release, declare, decree, prophesy that, come on, today, July 14th. Come on, the most significant season in our life in this church's history was birthed. And we entered into a time of acceleration that was just phenomenal. And it wasn't about how good we are. It was just, it's about the times we were living in. God needs some churches to rise up and stop waiting around to be rescued by the rapture. We got work to do. Everything I preached this morning, it all begins with making Jesus Lord of your life. I didn't say salvation. I'm not asking you, are you saved? Are you born again? I'm not asking you, have you been water baptized? There's a lot of people that know Jesus as their Savior, but if they be honest, they're not living Lordship. Lordship is, I want to be who you've called me to be. I want to do what you've called me to do. Lordship is, you lead, I'll follow. If you're here this morning, I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but I want you to be honest, because I've been honest and real and raw with you. You're here this morning, you say, Brother Philip, I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. I need to get my heart right with Jesus. I need to get things right. Jesus needs to hear me say, you lead, I'll follow. No one looking around. If that's you all over this place, just lift your hand up right where you are. Yeah, I see that hand. Who else? Come on, it'll never be easier. You need to make Jesus Lord of your life this morning. I see that hand. Come on, just a few more seconds. Don't miss this opportunity. Come on, your heart's beating out of your chest because you know this is the moment for Jesus not just to be your Savior, but to be Lord of your life. Anyone else? Thank you for those hands that went up. Let me ask you this. No one looking around. If you hear this morning, you say, Brother Philip, I've been dealing with feeling insignificant. I've been battling that. The devil's been whispering that garbage in my ear. That's exactly how I felt. Maybe because of my past, my mistakes, all of my faults, my weaknesses. I have just felt so insignificant. And you know what? Enough's enough. If you've been battling that, just all over the building, lift your hand up right where you are. Who's been battling that garbage? Hands going up everywhere. Proud of you. You can put your hands down. Now come on, every head up, every eye open, look up here. How many of you ready to enter the most significant season of your life? How many of you want to see Believers Fellowship enter the most significant season where y'all see more acceleration? Come on. Who wants it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Come on, everybody. Get up here to this altar. Stand anywhere you want to stand. We got to come together. We got to get in unity. We got to get in unity. Can we just worship just for a second? You got a simple song on your heart? Come on, just close your eyes. Can we go back to glorifying the name of Jesus? Say, Father, I love you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for me. All my sins, all my regrets, all my guilt washed away in the blood of Jesus. I receive you as my Savior. I invite you into my heart. And I boldly confess, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. I'm going to be who you've called me to be. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. You lead, I'll follow. I'm going to lead a significant life. I give my life to you. I give my words to you. I'm a giver, not a taker. I'm a tither. I'm a sower. And all my giving is significant and in your hands. Changes the world. Come on, join me. Pastor, let me have your hand, Pastor. Come on, join your faith with me. Father, in the authority of the name of Jesus, it's 11:48 on July 14th, 2019. And Father, we come together right now with more unity than they had at the Tower of Babel. We're bringing our life together. We're bringing our words together. We're bringing our giving together. And Father, what we want to accomplish is so much more important than what they were trying to do. And Father, we boldly declare that the most significant season this church has ever known begins now. That Father, acceleration kicks in into our life, into our ministries, into Believers Fellowship, into Scott and Terry's life, that Father, we immediately begin to experience acceleration. Come on, prophesy that word. Acceleration. And Father, it's not for us. It's for the kingdom. It's for the kingdom. Father, it's for the kingdom. Father, we declare that significant season begins now. We declare acceleration now. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, just begin to pray in the Spirit for a moment. Come on. Come on, just lather it with glory. Come on, come on, the whipped cream of your prayer language. Just, oh, shadake se yatala babasanda. Dose deke yatala babokonda. Come on, this is a prophetic moment. Oh, we'll remember this moment. Kase de se yatala babasanda lavabosonda. Shade se deke yatala babosonda. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. While I was worshiping, I looked over and I saw a spot, you know, over here. And the Lord spoke to me and said, whoever's standing there later, I want you to pray over them. Are y'all together? I just, you know, you never assume. Y'all are standing right where I saw someone standing. So, Father, I just thank you for this man and woman of God. Declare Jesus as Lord over their life. Their best days are ahead. They're blessed to be a blessing. And, Father, I thank you even now. You're opening up a door in their soul, and you're giving them a glimpse at the impact they've made. Father, you're giving them a greater revelation of the impact they've made on the lives of people. Ooh, yeah, I see that, Father. And that door that I'm ministering to you about, Lord says in the days ahead, that door's gonna swing wider open. Lord says it's not closing, but it's opening even wider. It's not closing, it's opening even wider. That the impact that you'll make, the understanding of the impact that you have made and you will make, God is opening up. He's giving you a bigger door. He's giving you a greater door. And that thing is swinging open, swinging open, swinging open. Yeah, Father, I see that. This is what I'm seeing. It's like you'll be in your car and the wind is strong outside, and you open up your car door just a little bit, and the wind catches it and just blows that car door open. And you think it's opening up so much that the door is going to come off. And you're so grateful that a car wasn't right next to you, because if you would have, you probably would have put a 3-inch dent in that car. Oh, the Lord says the wind of God is catching your door and blowing it wide open. Acceleration. Significant season in your life. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord says He needs you more now than ever. More than ever. More than ever. More than ever. More than ever. Hallelujah. Confirmation. Thank you, Father. How many of you received that word for yourself? Come on, lift your hands in this place. Father, open up these doors in our heart, that, Father, we could understand even greater the impact we've made. But, Father, give us a greater door. Father, we give you the glory for the impact we've made, but Father, we want to make a greater impact. You got to share that with Him from your heart. Father, give me a greater door. Father, I want to make a greater impact. Come on, just say, Holy Ghost, blow my door open. Holy Ghost, blow my door open. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Blow my door open. Couple right here. Are y'all together? Yeah, y'all join hands. Father, thank you for this man and woman of God. Father, Jesus is Lord over your life. Father, their best days are ahead. Father, they're blessed to be a blessing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Words, 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 words. There's going to be, for the rest of your life, God's going to send people across your path. He's going to send you the D.L. Moody's. He's going to send you the Wilbur Chapman's. He's going to send you the Billy Sundays. He's going to send you the Mordecai Hams. He's going to send you the Billy Grahams. He's going to send you young men, young women who you'll speak life into, and you'll bless them, and you'll believe in them, and you'll launch them into ministry. Words, words, words. That your words into their life will be at the right place, at the right time, and it'll launch them. It'll launch them. It'll launch them. And your words are going to weigh so heavy in their life. And those few minutes that you spend with them, those few hours that you spend with them, those few days you spend with them will be life-changing for these people that God's going to send your way. And your words and your life and your giving will launch them into the calling of God upon their life. How many of you want that on your... Come on, lift your hands if you want that. Father, whatever anointing Billy Kimball had, Father, pour that out on us. Father, whatever anointing Billy Kimball had, pour that anointing out on our life. Anoint our words, our giving, our life to launch people into fivefold world-changing ministry. Thank you, Father. Church will never be the same. Come on, prophesy. Church will never be the same. Church will never be the same. Church will never be the same. Church will never be the same, Pastor.
Praise God. Praise God. Are you blessed today?
Amen.
Well, I'm glad you brought your hunger with you. I could feel it drawing on the word of the Lord. And we're just blessed. Jesus is here. And I just saw in my spirit just like a heavenly portal opening. And just rays of golden, I don't know, I guess it like I saw it like waterfall. But I just believe it's falling on us today. Amen. You receive that in your heart? And, you know, you don't have to go by feelings. We know the difference around here. We're not going by feelings. If God says he's doing something, if he says I'm accelerating the church, we just said, amen. We receive it. Amen. Whether you feel it or not, we say that's the word of the Lord today. We receive it. We take it. And we're expecting some great things in the days ahead. So praise the Lord. Well, God bless you as you go. Thank you, Brother Philip. We just always love it when you come and just bring the life of Jesus. Can you say thanks with your applause this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we hope to see you back tonight. Guys, if you'll stick around, 6 o'clock tonight will be our meeting with Brother James and his wife, Ginger Carnell. It'll be a great time in the presence of the Lord. Any of you guys that can stick around, help us set up tables. We need to do a quick revamp here on the chair area, and we're going to do that right now, okay? Praise the Lord. God bless you as you go. Have a great day.